You are now listening to a message from Ekia Christian Center. Get set to be edified. God has blessed you.
There needs to be a societal transformation that arises from the activities of people who are spiritual. It does not make any sense for there to be people who claim to know God, who are not able to impact the territory that they find themselves. So, there needs to be a change in the way and manner we view our worship of God. Our worship of God must not only be designed to get from Him for selfish purposes. Our worship of God must be designed and connected to transformation of other people's lives aside from ourselves. Now, when we started crossover service and we looked on, we look at our teaching last week, we said that God will support and sponsor efforts that are not driven by self. And that if we are able to connect to God's divine plans and purposes, all right, and be able to work with Him to reach others, glory to God, then you will find that you yourself will be what? Taken care of. You know, like the Bible says in Matthew 6, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All right, in the preceding verses, Jesus was saying that the heathen that does not have a relationship with God, they chase food, drink, shelter, and earthly things, all right? But he says the kingdom of God is not in the chasing of those things, but that you seek God's divine agenda, and that when you are seeking God's divine agenda, you are chasing God's plans and purposes. He's saying you cannot lack what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, what to drive when you are chasing God's divine agenda. Are you following what I'm saying here? So there must be a thinking. So when we are talking about God-sized visions and thinking beyond human limits, I want us to ensure that we are not looking at the sermon from a framework of selfish interest. We are not examining the topic from the standpoint of what and how I can advance myself, all right, and myself alone. I don't want you to think this is another sermon that is designed to drive capitalistic leanings, okay, where, oh, I'm trying to do something, you're trying to do something for yourself. So, no. Listen, when God gives a gift, He is not giving it for the benefit the primary benefit of the recipient. When God gives a gift, He gives the gift for the benefit of the community of the world. Hallelujah. You must understand it. Jesus said in St. John's Gospel, chapter 12, He said, "Except a corn of wheat what? Dies, all right, it abides alone, but if it dies, it bears what? Much fruit." So the reason why that corn was planted in the ground, and all right, the purpose of the death of that corn was for the many. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, it was for the many, not for the benefit of the corn itself. There are many prayers we are praying and asking God for that we have not received answers for because we've not yet understood the purpose of God's gifts. We've not yet understood the purpose of God's glory to God. Lengthening your cords. Funny enough, Deacon Emmanuel mentioned it during his ministration. Praise God. If you turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 54, we're going to look at two scriptures as theme this morning. Isaiah chapter 54, can we look at from verse 1 to 2? Glory to God. Isaiah 54 from verse 1 to 2. You understand? Let's look at it quickly. Amen. Are we there? Oh yeah, can we read one to go? It says what? Thou dost it not bear, break forth into what? For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Look at the contracts that he's painting. He says, sing, O barren. All right. Break forth into singing and crying like thou that is not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. Now, you are looking at a, you know, a prophetic word that we can contextualize in the New Testament, in how that the Gentiles who did not know God, how that the Gentiles who did not have a covenant relationship, all right, with God, because the covenant relationship here is, you know, marriage is a typology of that covenant relationship, praise God. Because if you look at scriptures, God always accuses the Israelite nation of adultery when they go into idolatry because God is their husband. Are you following? So God is saying here that sing, O barren. The barren is a Gentile, the man God does not have a covenant with. And he says, all right, the person who is barren, who does not have a husband, has more children, glory to God, like the one that has a covenant, praise God. But that's not where we're going to. Look at verse 2. This is a promise of increase. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy what? Habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Glory to God. You see, this prophetic word brings about a shift in your thinking. He's saying, whatever plans you have, whatever visions you have, or whatever thing you have seen and you expect God to do, multiply it by 10. Multiply it by 100. Glory to God. All right? He says, enlarge your what? Tents. Enlarge your capacity. Glory to God. Enlarge it. All right? Think bigger. Glory to God. Make more room, because you will need room to take all that God, all right, would have to give you. Glory to God. I said glory to God. All right? Now, when God gives a promise, all right, it doesn't automatically mean that that promise that God has given, look, glory to God, you just get it. No. There is a part that you have to play. If you look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, you see something very interesting there. It says, glory to God. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be what? Weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Why is it that they that wait upon the Lord, we need to run? Glory to God. Notice, it says, they shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When you wake up on the Lord, one of the things that happens is that God gives you instructions. Glory to God. There was nobody that waited upon the Lord in scripture that did not come down from waiting with an instruction and things that God told them to do. But you see, one of the things that accomplishes, all right, that waiting on the Lord and the instruction that he gives, he does, he gives you strength to run. Hallelujah. Strength and grace to carry out that assignment. Why? Because the promises of God require bravery, courage, and strength for you to receive them. Every promise that God gives needs to be received. Every promise that God gives needs to be received. Glory to God. It needs to be received. And the reason why it is important that there's a manifestation of the promises of God, the prophetic words God has given in scripture and by spirit to you in your life, is because the point and the goal of such promises, the point and the goal of such prophetic words is not you. There are generations connected to you. Your failure is not personal. Your failure is communal. All right, if you fail, there are a lot of people that have failed that you have not met. If you fail, there are a lot of examples that, you know, that, people that you could have been examples to that, you know, you cannot be examples to. So you must understand that your success is not just for you and your family, it's for your generation. When God lights a man up, when God sets a man on fire, he doesn't set the man on fire for him, he sets the man on fire for his generation. Glory to God. Have you noticed that every success story is copied? Whatever succeeds multiplies. Glory to God. Church, are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatever succeeds multiplies. So when one succeeds, 1,000 more have succeeded, because 1,000 more will have the understanding that, ah, if this person could do it, then I can do it. I don't know how many of you have heard of this story. In the 60s, there was a time they were saying that, you know, it was impossible to run 1 mile under 4 minutes. It was impossible. Oh, it's not possible. Oh, it's not possible. You can't run 1 mile under 4 minutes. People tried and they failed. People tried and they failed. I think then in the 60s, there was an Olympics, and one guy just came and he ran 1 mile and he ran it over under 4 minutes. The moment people saw that he ran it under 4 minutes, people began to break the 4 minutes mark, by running 1 mile. Glory to God. Remember, some of you remember Usain Bolt. Come on, now, you remember Usain Bolt? If you remember, before Usain Bolt ran in, was it 2008 or so? Or 2008. Nobody had run 9.69. Nobody. The thing was in the mind. Then nobody had run 9.58 when he ran it. In fact, when you go and look at the race, 2012, I think, or so, pardon me if I'm mixing it up. When you write 9.58, you're going to find out that the second and third broke his previous, his previous records. They broke his previous records. Why? Because when one person breaks a record, everybody sees that it's achievable. Because there are many limits that are in the mind of a generation that they need models to break. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. There are certain things that in your family, nobody has achieved it. You need to be the first one to achieve it. You need to be the first one to break the record for the purpose of your children, for the purpose of your generation. Now, when I started my sermon, I said spirituality must have impact in society. A lot of folks think that when you come to church, we should come and just lay a theological sermon. Now, you know, in this church, we've laid a phenomenal foundation over the years on different aspects of theology and doctrine and all of that. But you see, that doctrine must have an impact. It needs to translate. Glory to God. It needs to be applied. It needs to be applicable. It needs to move away from just being abstract to something that has real life implications. Glory to God. Real life application. Because Jesus Christ said, it is not the hearer of the word that is blessed, but it is the word, the doer. Glory to God. So it is the person that takes the theology and applies it, glory to God, that actually we see the manifestations of God's blessing. Glory to God. So just to recap, number one, when God gives a promise, he gives the promise not primarily for the person that he's giving it to. The purpose of that promise is for a community, for the world. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, you find God speaking to Abraham. He says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God's focus wasn't just Abraham. It was for the world, because in Romans 4:13, he says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In verse 16, it goes on to say, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to what? All the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is also of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So the promise was given to Abraham for us. Glory to God. Say this with me. The promise of God to me is connected to many people. Say it again. The promise of God to me is connected to many people. Say aloud, I am blessed for a generation. Louder, I am blessed for a generation. Therefore, I will not fail my generation. Glory to God. So when God gives you a vision, it is not just for you. It's for multitudes. Now listen. God does not give man-sized visions. When God gives a vision, he gives it in accordance to his own size. So God gives God-sized vision. God-sized vision. Oh, Pastor, you know what, Pastor? I just want to be like, I just want to drive, get my dream car this year. I want to drive Lambo this year. Then I want to live in Lekki this year. And then I want to do this. I want to fly to Paris. I want to do that. Now, listen. All of those things, they are man-sized visions. They are too small. Because the only person impacted by all these things is you. It's too small. I want to buy Bone Street. Your life is not yet straight, but I want to buy Bone Street. You understand? All right? I want to buy something, Venezuelan breeds or whatever. Listen. Your vision, your motivation, what drives you must become bigger. Bigger than yourself. There are certain things you will not hear. Certain instructions God will not give you when you are a self-centered person. When it's only about you. Because if God blesses you, it's not for you. God is looking for conduits. He is not looking for reservoirs. He's looking for distributors. Hallelujah. He's not looking for containers. Yeah. Because God, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I am asking you for billions. Why? So you can carry Sajik, Brazilian babes. Is that it? So that you can pepper them. So you can go on Instagram and drive Tesla. And no, that's too small. You see, greatness in the kingdom of God is not a function of how much possessions you can gather together and use to oppress people. Greatness in the kingdom of God is seen in how many lives you are able to impact for Jesus. So a man may be great in the eyes of natural men, but he is small in the eyes of God. A man may be rich in the eyes of natural men, but he is poor in the eyes of God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So there has to be that shift in our thinking. Glory to God. So when you are saying, Father, bless me financially, have a community in mind. Father, bless me materially. Have a community in mind. When you are talking about your business and praying for your business, praying about your business, don't ask for increase just for increase sake. Ask for increase because you have a community in mind. Praise God. You have a divine agenda in mind. You know, many years ago, when the missionaries came to Africa, one of the things they did, I looked at what they did, I studied it, and it was interesting. What they did was this. They wanted the populace, they wanted us to accept the gospel. So they came preaching the gospel. Then, when they preached the gospel and they got real estate or land, do you know what they did? They built three things. Number one, they built a church. Number two, they built a school. Number three, they built a hospital. Church, school, and what? A hospital. In the church, they came and got educated concerning the scriptures. All right? People came and then so the priest, that's what the priest did. Glory to God. Now, many of times, the priest also doubled as a teacher because the priest was educated. So the priest also showed up in the school and were the ones that were educating the children for free. All these, you know, folks like Samuel Ajayi Crowder, that's what they did. Many of them were the teachers of Abad Macaulay, were the teachers of Awolowo. Most of the schools that you saw around were missionary-owned and ran schools. Church, the church did that. Praise God. Why? Because then the church was structured not just to exist for the spiritual development of the people. It was structured to exist for the physical and health, you know, development of the people. Glory to God. And also for the personal development of the people. So it was from those missionary schools. You had men like Nnamdi Azikiwe. You had men like Awolowo Rice. You had, you know, different guys and stuff like that. Then because of the kind of education people like Awolowo had, when they became premier of the Western region, what did they do? They set up and said, every child born in this region must be educated. In fact, it was a criminal offense for your child not to go to school. That's impact. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's impact. So you find that you have non-negotiables. You can say, I am going to try my best. Or, Father Lord, bless my business because I want to ensure that 1,000 indigent children go to school. I want them to go to school from primary level, primary school level to university. 1,000. You know, there's something that broke my heart. I saw it, I think, while I was driving, myself and the pastors, we had a meeting yesterday. So after we were going home, there were these guys in Lekki area, these little children, all right, they beg on the road. Then they come and, I don't know if you've seen these guys, that they will come and be cleaning your windshield, you know that? Windshield and all that. There was a time we were coming back from crossover service. And at around 2 a.m., there were some little girls, like 6-year-old. She was not in bed. She was begging on the streets. Little boys, little girls, begging on the streets. Now, ideally, the government should do something about that. Glory to God. But if you wait for the government, that little boy is going to, in the next 18 years, be 24. He will be a bandit, kidnapping people and asking for ransom. So there are societal repercussions for selfish living. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you are praying and always thinking of, Father, bless me so that I can eat. I don't care about anybody else. The person that goes to bed without eating is going to be the robber that will be disturbing your neighborhood. Praise the Lord. So we cannot live for ourselves. Look at him and say, you cannot live for yourself. I mean, I want you to scream at the person, you cannot live for yourself. This thing also has to do with living as an example. Living as an example. Praise God. Anything you model multiplies. Anything you model, it multiplies. So we have to understand that you are not and cannot live for yourself because a generation is connected to you. Say this to me, there's a generation connected to me. Come on, louder, there's a generation connected to me. Now listen. God has promises with your name tied to it. God has gifts with your name. When I'm talking of gifts, I'm talking of gifts of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about things that he will commit into your hand. In the earth realm, he will commit it into your hand. Glory to God. We have different places that God is going to place us. There are different things he will want us to do. Hallelujah. There are some of you, he will send you, his ministry is going to call you into, all right? And he will say, I'll give you this, I'll give you this. That's how God works. But the purpose of it is not for you. The purpose is for a generation, it's for a community. For some, it is for the world. Hallelujah. For some, it's business. Calling the world business. You sell it to the oil and gas sector. Sell it to the financial sector. Is there a dimension of God in that? Yes, we see it in scripture. Joseph was not the pastor of Pharaoh. Was Joseph the pastor of Pharaoh? No. He was prime minister. Daniel, prime minister. Glory to God. So there are some of us that we send into those places. But as we get into those places, we must never think that we are there for ourselves. No. No. If God ever opens the door to a government house to you, and you now get a political position, you must never think that you are there for yourself. Hallelujah. Do you know why? For a very long time, and it's still going on now, a lot of Nigerians are having a lot of difficulty with financial services companies abroad because of the preponderance of guys in Nigeria who are into Yahoo Yahoo fraud. I was talking to one guy who were praying, he's in Canada, and he's into finance and all that. So there was a role, okay, and it was a role for a financial controller. In the Canadian, you know what the financial controller does now? When they found that and saw Nigeria in his name, they stopped the conversation. Was he a thief? No. But because of the actions of other people, his destiny was affected. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? You cannot live for yourself. Your actions have consequences for other people, positive or negative. If you break through, you do the right thing, there are other people connected to you that will enter through the door because of you. But if you have a culture of messing up, there are doors that will be closed to other people because of you. Hallelujah. I'll give you an example. There's a man who has the same name as I do. And he's in the same profession as I am. My name is, you know, in the professional world, I'm Dr. Femi Olaleye. That's my name. Now, there happens to be this brother whose name is also Dr. Femi Olaleye. Now, this dude went about raping, you know, raping and doing some very sexually nonsense stuff. But the problem is this. When the news is carried, guess whose name shows up? Dr. Femi Olaleye. You go. You're talking about, I want to come to our church. I know our church is Oikea Christian Center. What's the name of your pastor? Oh, Reverend Dr. Femi Olaleye. So the person goes and types Femi Olaleye on Google. This guy's name comes up because, you know, he's been in a lot of stuff and he's got more results on Google than I do. Weird stuff. Then at work, the guy did something. They put him in prison. Then there was something. They let him out. Then this guy went to UK and he did something else again. Then the news came out. You saw my boss said, I saw this news. I got nothing to do with me. Praise the Lord. But the actions, you know, do you know something? That anybody, anytime anyone's name, Olaleye, you know, someone says, what's your name? Oh, my name is something, 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 Olaleye. Do you know the first thing they're going to think? Are you related to that doctor? Actions have repercussions. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Your actions have repercussions. Your success has consequences. Your failure has consequences. So you must make sure that in 2026, you are living with a purpose and you are following a God, you are chasing and pursuing a God-sized vision. There are some people that we hear this message when we're talking about going global and impacting people, they'll say it's covetousness and it's ambition. I have a problem with that because I think that there are a lot of small-minded people in the Christian church. Very small-minded people who think that we are serving a small-minded God. Or who thinks that God, because when we are talking about covetousness, what is that? I'm asking God for $10 million. I said that is covetousness. But what is $10 million actually? Praise the Lord. It's the reason why our minds need to be enlarged. $10 million is nothing to somebody working in New York, in the New York Stock Exchange, an investment banker. He will just be hearing things like, it's not a lot of money, it's just $10 million. Praise the Lord. So it means covetousness is relative. I'm saying that, listen, spend so much time with God that you understand his purpose for doing things. When you understand the purpose for doing things, you understand that it's not just about you, it's about what? Others. And when you are thinking about others, listen to me, when you are thinking about blessing others, you will never be done. The work will never end. Hallelujah. Even if you had $100 billion, it will never be what? Enough. And if you are focused on being a blessing to others, that money will never corrupt you. The money that corrupts, God says the love of money is the root of all evil. The money that corrupts is the one that you don't let go. When you don't have that culture of being a channel, when the money comes, it stops with you. I know there's a lot concerning black tax, and there are a lot of people that have this mindset of entitlement. The mindset of entitlement is very, very wrong. When God sends people who have the right mindset, who are liberal, who are sacrificial, and who are generous, your response must never be entitlement. It's not your money. The person is being a blessing. Glory to God. But that said, I must understand that when God blesses me, he has my family in mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then God blesses me, he has my younger brother in mind. When God blesses me, he has my younger sister. In fact, when I'm talking on community, I'm not even talking about them. It should be normal for you to be a blessing to your brother and your sister. There are some prayer points that they are praying in your family that the answer that God is going to provide is you. There are some prayers. Your mother is praying and God is looking at you, wondering why you have not yet sorted out that matter for the mother. Your mother is in the village, trekking to market. Hey, this is my leg. Hey, this is my leg. Hey, hey, hey. She needs a casa. Praise the Lord. A car, you can afford it. With one driver to drive her around. Even if it is Nigerian use, please buy it, Biko. Amen. Praise God. She's over 70. She should not be trekking. You can buy it. That father, instead of her to ask you, she won't ask you because the mother is saying, oh, it's my son. He has a lot of responsibilities. God blesses one for the benefit of others. Then he will judge that one for whether or not that person was responsible with the resources that he was given or not. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? God bless you with money. You went to go and buy 2.5 million naira phone. You now said, I beg, look, your law. You only live once. From time to time, man needs to know how to splendor on himself. 2.5 million naira phone. Your mother and your father are still living in Face Me, I Face You. Face Me, I Slap You. And you are going there to greet them. You went to go and buy. You are greeting them. Mama, I just get to be a hey, I bought Gary. I bought rice. I bought Chocomilo and Milo. And you are greeting them. Eh? And your daddy is saying, Ndo, he's blessing you. And you left them in Face Me and Slap You with a 2.5 million naira phone in your pocket. You are wicked. You are wicked. Your prayer and fasting will not work. No, it's true. It will not work. Listen, it will not work. You are wicked. You're a wicked person. And you're only alive because of the grace of God. You are wicked. You're a wicked person. Nothing touched your heart. You sat down there and doing, though, you're giving them sweet and chocomilo and milo and milk. Giving them 20K. And they are thanking you. Thank you, my daughter. Ah, God will bless you. You can do more. You know. Get them out of the Face Me, I Slap You. They are your parents. Listen to me. This blessing of God we are talking about, that is supposed to be a community. You want God to give more to you. Your own parent that bet you, that paid school fees for you. The thing, the blessing God has given you, didn't touch them. If you cannot have mercy on your own parents, God can't use it to bless the world. There are certain things and blessings. Let me tell you, there are certain blessings that God gives you. It's a test. They are watching to say, what are you going to do with it? What will be your response? That is not the major blessing. It's just a test. It's just a test. God then at times will bring blessings your way and watch. Who did you remember and who did you forget? Who did you remember? Who did you forget? God bless you this thing. You now remember that there's a Shayo Junction. You now went, you know. You were not, when you didn't have, you were not drinking. But now you want to drink Dom Perignon. You are now saying, no, alcohol is not a sin. You see, Jesus turned water to wine. You now remember that scripture. That's now you remember. You talk about you want to Dom Perignon. You say, you know, I like my wines. And you're not like this. You know, you that used to drink Zobo, you know, you're doing like this, you know, it's wine. Who did you remember? Who did you forget? You just find, there are certain, I was talking to a gentleman, right? He was thinking of himself. If you want to be great in the hands of God, and if you want God to commit much resources to you, you have to demonstrate to the Lord that I am a channel, I am not a reservoir. Say this with me. I am a channel. I'm not a reservoir. Again, I am a channel. I'm not a reservoir. Now that we have gotten that out of the way, notice. Whatever God promises you must be taken. Look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 2. Joshua chapter 1 verse 2. Whatever God promises you must say, listen to me. If you like, see vision. And in the vision, you are counting bondu. In the vision, God told you this. You saw Elohim, you know, in heaven. It was a clear vision. In fact, God was there. He had beards. His beard was white. His hair was white. Then you sat down on his lap. And he was saying, my daughter, I have given it to you. Listen to me. Whatever God gives, you must take. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Church, are you hearing what I'm saying? Whatever God gives, you must take. There is nothing like que sera, sera, whatever we be. It's a lie, yo. It's a lie. Not, whatever we be, will not be, yo. Glory to God. If God says, you're a footballer, and God give you a word and says, you will win the World Cup with Nigeria. You know, you say, amen. You tell people, I saw myself. We, you know, in a dream, as we were playing the ball, he swim across the ball to me, and I put the ball inside the net. Then after it was, I checked in the dream, it was Nigeria 3, France 2, and the referee blew the whistle, and we won the World Cup. In fact, I see gave me the World Cup, and I was shouting, praise the Lord, I'm going to win World Cup. Brother, if you continue eating chocomilo, Eating pizza, eating pounded jam, you are not going to train and you are already 35 years old. Now, first, if you have a dream that you won't walk up and you are 35, I can promise you, you want to walk up as a coach, praise the Lord, all right, or you have malaria because, you know, we need to give proper interpretation to that dream. 35 years old. So, Pastor, don't worry, I can do under 17. No, you are not doing that yet. You are too old, sir. Amen. Glory to God. I don't understand. No, we don't want you. We want the under 17 to be in under 17. Glory to God. At 35, go get a coaching course. You know, UEFA license B, license A. You know, you will win it. You know, you need to interpret the dream well. You will win it as coach of Nigeria, assistant coach, praise God, or the physiotherapist. Hallelujah. But if it's football, it has gone. You are not going to win it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Everybody read, want to go. It says what? Oh my God, this thing is powerful. God is real. God does not deny facts. He gives you revelation to change it. He gives revelation to respond to facts. God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead now, therefore what? Arise. God had given a promise to them that the land of Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey, was theirs. God did not transport them in the Holy Ghost by the Spirit to land them. Mm-mm. He says, Moses, my father, with you, Joshua, arise, get up. Glory to God. Look at him and say, get up. Everyone say, get up! That's what men people. You are sitting down around the promises, you are executing nothing. Nothing. What are you working on? I'm working on nothing. I'm waiting on the Lord. Some people's I am waiting on the Lord is a lie. They are not waiting on any God. It doesn't take that long to wait on God. It's like someone that is selling, they ask a lady, and God, sister, I like you. I want us to start dating. I want us to start going out. And the sister is saying, okay, no problem. Let me pray. 1 month, I'm waiting on the Lord. 2 months, I'm waiting on the Lord. 3 months, I'm waiting on the Lord. 4 months, 6 months, I'm waiting on the Lord. Sister, are you sure you know God's address? Because if you don't know God's address, maybe we can direct you properly. Because this is our God. You know the tea for him to respond. Sister, waiting. 6 months, 7 months, 1 year. And some sisters, so I've heard some people say things like, you know, I told him that I'm waiting on the Lord. And he waited for me for 1 year. 1 year. He waited for me for 1 year. He's so patient, I understand. He's a mugu. Oh. Mugu need job. That's my wait for him for 1 year. Ah, Nikon Shane, you think we don't have to do what you are doing? Me, wait for you for 1 year. I'm doing what? So what are we doing in that 1 year? I will get you, are you eating? has God spoken yet? When it's not that you have a prophetic word for my life. And we waited 1 year. So that after 1 year, we say, praise the Lord, she said, God has spoken. Copech, ni praise God. I don't go to God. God is copech, ni praise God. This the word of prophecy is not perch on our head. Let's move on. Somebody says, what is all this rubbish? He asked me, and I told him I'm coming. This was 6 months ago. Now I'm hearing that he is in a relationship. What should he be inside? Inside boat? No, now. You said you were waiting. He said, yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, though. I said, glory to God. Amen. Like I heard something. Somebody was dating somebody. The thing didn't work out. Amen. 3 years or so later, or 2 years later, somebody that knows this person didn't work out with, this other person, and they like themselves. Amen. They like themselves. And they say they want to date. Then the other person heard and was angry. How can you date my friend? Is he your enemy with date? Aren't you happen to your friend? The guy is a good guy, yes. So don't you want your friend to have something good? Don't be wicked. Don't you want your friend to have something good? You didn't work out, but he's a good person. Abi, he's not abusive. Abi, he's spiritual. Hey, so what's the problem? Are you really a friend to this person? Say, the person didn't ask my permission. Are you a different spirit? It's not permission. They should inform you. I like this person, no. Just wanted to let you know that we'll be moving forward. No, why are you telling me to let me know? You should take my permission. You are not serious. You are the president of the person. You are the godfather, the grandfather. You pay the person's. Let's move on. Amen. Don't come for the wedding. This is a prophetic word for someone in this service. Amen. Don't go for the wedding. We will miss you. Go and marry, oh, if this word is your, it touch you. You understand? It's a friend of somebody. You now say, ah, no, I can't. I don't want to do it because, you know, this person knows this. You will be single, oh. Glory to God. Who told you that the first relationship that broke out, God sent them to do any relationship? God didn't send them now. But you know this thing is the word of God. Move on. Amen. Anyone that wants to verse to verse, see, let me tell you something. They were friends my wife had. That means I thought they were friends for life. They are nowhere to be found today. So there are some friends you think that they are not there for season, no? Don't go and junket people that are for life or people for, that are for season, no? Glory to God. Carry on, Jari. Go on the dates, you know. Let us know when it's time for marriage counseling so we can chop rice. Glory to God. Because we need to chop a lot of rice this year. Amen, somebody? Amen. If this thing I said is annoying to you, you are angry. Peter, what's the meaning of that? What do you mean? Forgive me. It's a season of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Now listen. Moses, my servant, is now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. Thou and all these people. Notice, when God spoke to Joshua, he spoke to Joshua for the sake of Israel. Always think about that's how God works. He's not talking to you just for you. He has a generation, a people, a community in mind. He says, you and all these people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Now, there's something that is important to note. When God says he has given you the land, in the realm of God, he has given you the land. God had been telling Abraham, I've given you Canaan. But Abraham never entered Canaan and owned it for 400 years. The person God gave the promise to had already died. It was his descendants that were about to enter the land. And when God was talking to Joshua, Moses, he says, I have already given you the land. So many times, when God talks about what he has done for you, he does it before you ever experience what he said he has done for you. God never speaks in the future, he speaks in the past. Because God does not live in the time of realm of time. We are the ones that live in the realm of time. And God talks to us in time. But when he talks to us in time, he talks to us in time from the perspective of where he lives, which is outside the realm of time. So what God will give, he has already given. Oh, do you understand? What God will give, he has already given. But you need courage to enter into what God has said he has given. Listen, any promise that God gives that, you know, does not require courage and bravery, it's not God that gave it. Look at Joshua chapter 9, verse 1, verse 9. It says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of what? Good courage. Be not what? Church. Be not what? Let me give you an example. You are in fashion. You are a fashion designer. That's your business. You operate out of one small shop. That's where people come and all. But God has been, you've been having this impression. Okay, why don't you go and take a place in this place? Why don't you go and do this, you know? And all these things that you are having instruction and the leading to do is going to cost money. Maybe you have 60, 70% of the money to do it. And you are having fear. Glory to God. If I do this thing and lose the whole money. Are you following what I'm saying? Whenever God instructs, the reason why he will tell you to be courageous is because the thing he is telling you to do, if you think about it in the natural, fear will enter and paralyze you. God never directs you to do something that does not require you to trust him for the performance of it. Are you following what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. So he tells you, be courageous. Don't worry, I'm with you. Be courageous. Don't worry, I'm with you. Why does he keep telling you to be courageous? Because things are going to happen in the course of you executing, to take, that make you say, hey, am I sure God is? You understand? You may have taken a project and I've done it, and all of a sudden they refund you and said, no, this is terrible, you have to refund our money.
Or you started and you expanded, and because you were trying to figure things out, you made a mistake and they are dragging you on Twitter. Dragging your brand on Twitter.
So you tell you, be courageous. The issue many believers have is that they think that because it is God, everything will happen without incidents.
Are you following what I'm saying? So we've gotten to a point that a lot of Christians don't have thick skin. Their skin is too sensitive. They think if it is God, it will go without incidents, no issues, no challenges. So the first time something goes wrong, okay, they pack up. Okay, let me give you this example. How many of you have heard about the guy who invented the light bulb? How many of you remember? No, the guy who invented Thomas Edison. Do you know how many times that guy, how many styles, things he tried before he actually got the right thing? According to him, he said he failed 999 times. And he succeeded to get the light bulb working the 1,000th time. Then they now told him, didn't you think that that was, you know, a lot of, effort, wasted effort? He said, no. He said, because I found 999 ways not to make a light bulb. Do you know what the Christian will do? If he fails several times, first, he will blame generation causes. This is family people. This is family people. A Christian will fail an exam. God told him, go. I want you to be an electrical engineer or to be a medical doctor. And the person fails an exam. First thing he goes, he says, my village people are after me. Praise God. He reads something. He does not understand it. Instead of him to say, I'm going to burn the midnight candle to what? Understand this thing. Do you know what you do? You say, Father, show me a way to pass this exam. You know, so he wants to enter the exam without understanding that thing he read. So he wants to enter the exam and just know the answer. You get there and say, Father, show me whether it is true or false. Am I lying? Just go there. Father, show me. You don't know you don't understand. You say, show me whether it's true or false. If it's not true, it is false. Yeah. True. False. 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 Then you come, you now say, Father, please, I know I did not know what I was asking in that response. Help me pass. That's the idea we have about God. A God that is a number one sponsor of incompetence. And let me use this word that I just coined. A God that is the chief of odeism. You understand odeism? You understand? All right? He's the one that is producing odes. You understand? People that have BSc but cannot defend what they see. Do you understand? They can't defend it. Eh? Electrical engineer, mechanical engineer that is calling Sulaiman to fix his gen. He can't change plug. He can write and explain how electrical energy is converted to mechanical energy through the laws of motion. But he cannot change plug of gen. What is mech engine? Mech. What did you mean? Mech. Mech engine. First class, Unilag. Unilag is better than OAU. UI for life. You can't change plug. Hallelujah. God is not a mass producer of odors that speak in tongues. You went for interview. They're asking you technical questions. You don't know the answer. You are speaking in tongues. Is it prayer meeting? Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Courage is bravery. But you see, when God tells you to be brave and courageous, he does not bypass the need for you to have understanding first. Notice, before Joshua was told to take the people into the promised land, he had understudied Moses for 40 years. So when we are talking about be courageous, all right, take risks. To take what God has given you. We are not saying that to an order. Glory to God. How many of you have watched movies where there was a very brave guy that died first. You understand? When they said everybody was hiding and taking strategic position, the guys were, I will show you when he comes. A sniper just comes, takes out his head, boom, just like that. He's dead. Why? Because you see, bravery needs understanding. Glory to God. Bravery needs what? Understanding. Bravery without understanding equals sudden death. Glory to God. But with understanding, you will find out that you are brave. You enter into what God has told you and what God has given you bravely, courageously, but you know what you are doing. Glory to God. I'll round up now. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. Yeah. Whatever business you are doing, enlarge it. Let's go bigger. Let us apply to, all right, look for bigger opportunities. Don't wait for the opportunities to come to you. Go and get the opportunities. Hallelujah. All right? Do it courageously, do it bravely, but do it with understanding. Now, there's a few things to note as I close. Few things to note as I close. How? Just a moment. Let me check this. Okay, yeah. Two things to note as I close. Number one, you must note that when God makes a promise and says, I've given you a promised land, he says, he's giving you a promised land and all that, there are a few things to note. Number one, there will be giants there. Many times, when God gives you a promise concerning anything on the earth, there would already be obstacles you would encounter. All right? The fact that God said, I've given it to you, does not mean that it's empty. There always will be forces to contend with. Always. There will be giants. There will be giants. What are giants? Giants are obstacles, circumstances, people, powers that will always make you doubt what God has said he has given, given to you. Now, you have an option. When you encounter giants in the land, you can either turn back and say, I am not able to. Praise the Lord. I am not able to. Was it here last week I talked about self-image? Huh? Was it here or Kosovo? Huh? Huh? Last year, self-image. One of the greatest things God can do for you, eh, is to help you to have the right vision of who you are. That right vision. Because we are all coming from different backgrounds. There are some folks that the clothes they wear and the quality of the clothes they wear is affecting how confident they are. The experiences they've had in life, all right, the family they come from, all right, is affecting how they see themselves. So that is now creeping in to their relationship with God. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? It's creeping in with our relationship. I was listening to what Pastor Paul Aniche was saying. He said he spoke to Bishop Oyedepo, and he told Bishop Oyedepo, he said, people from my family don't go far in life. Right? He was, because of the background came from, I said, people from my family, they don't go far. They don't go global. He said, I'm afraid I'll be one of them. I said, Bishop Oyedepo spoke to me and said, what do you mean? You are not from beneath. You are from what? Above. So, where you come in contact with giants in the land that God has given you, you must function from the standpoint of where you truly are from. You are not from beneath, you are from what? Above. Your family is not the earthly one, okay? Your family is the what? The heavenly one. The Bible says, ye are of what? Of God, little children. Ye are of God. So that means your origin is God. Don't expect that what God has given you, people will not contend with you for it. They will. God gave Isaac's well. All right, and when Isaac got there, people were contending that well, those wells with him. They contended the first one. He left it for them. They contended the second one. He left it for them. Then he got to one and they didn't contend with him. They'll contend with you. But it's okay. There will be giants in the land and there will be obstacles and challenges along the way. Anticipate those obstacles. Anticipate those giants and contend with the giants and slay the giants. Guess what? Nobody rewards you for battles you did not win. Nobody rewards you for battles you lose. You are rewarded for the battles that you won, that you win. In this year, learn how to fight. Look at anyone and say, learn how to fight. Look at somebody and say, learn how to fight. Another person say, learn how to fight. You need to learn how to fight. You need to know how to fight. Hallelujah. I'm not talking of punching, no. Any fight you engage in that involves blows, you've lost it. You've lost it. What did I say? When you're there, you know, man of destiny. Someone come here, you two are doing it. And you are now doing Anthony Joshua. See, what you are acting is your defeat. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I said, praise God. A strange woman is trying to get your husband. You, the wife, you now went to go and stop at supermarket. You are now fighting. You are doing chicken fight. Leave my husband alone. Leave my husband alone. Leave my husband alone. Leave my husband. You've lost the marriage. You've lost the marriage. I'm serious. You've lost the marriage. That's not how to fight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is not how to fight. Praise the Lord. Learn how to fight. Glory to God. Let's just wrap this quickly up. Is somebody learning something here?
Yes, sir.
Listen, this year, you have to, it needs to be big. You need to enlarge. Now, that enlarging, you're not enlarging it just without sense. You're enlarging by understanding. You have one shop, you're going to open a second one this year. I am not hearing amen.
Amen.
You sent 10 proposals out last year, you will send 100 this year.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? This year, you are in a particular sector, this thing, you need to go for their conferences. You are in real estate. You see the real estate conference that you have to be there. Wear a very nice suit that people can notice you are looking sharp. Make sure you get a nice perfume there. You speak spoken tongues. You say, Father, I'm going to get opportunities today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. You brush your teeth. Make sure it's not smelly. Don't get someone close to someone and someone say, and you see, Papa, and the bread that is coming out of you is toxic. All right? No. Make sure everything is, and you go there. Sit down properly. Cross your leg. Hallelujah. Look like you know what you are, you look like. Look like you know what you look like. Praise God. All right. Look knowledgeable. Sit down there. If you don't, you don't have glasses. It's not recommended. Go and get all those glasses, maybe, your Facebook, all those round glasses that make you look, you have a PhD. Put it on, and you are looking and you are talking, and you are shaking your head like this. You're shaking it. Not too fast. When you shake it too fast like this, you are hungry. Shake it like this. This one is hungry. Shake it slowly. You say that's correct. That's right. You understand? Then approach people. Get a business card. All right. I'm into this. I'm into this. I'm into this. And all. Person says, I'm looking for setting something, opportunities and stuff like that. He says, no problem. We do that too. You may not do it currently, but we do that too. We can assist you over that. Can I send a proposal over? This is my card. Can I have yours? Don't sit down at home. I'm speaking in tongues, all right, during the day. Don't speak in tongues during the day while men are walking. Hallelujah. And be sleeping. You understand what I'm saying? Speak in tongues at night. During the day, where men are on the streets, go to the... Are you following what I'm talking about? Go out more this year. Go and look for opportunities. Glory to God. Go and be prepared. Take courses that you need to take. Don't be another. Refuse to be ignorant. They said AI is a new place. I hope you are taking AI courses. Amen. That yes is very small. I said, I hope you are taking AI courses. I hope you are learning how to use AI. You are in the corporate space. Use AI. AI, tell me 1, 2, 3 things, and it will give you the metrics. You have copied. You will be looking like a star. You say, according to a report in 2024 by UNESCO, all right, I said, Kinon Shebo, what's happening? Bravery with understanding. Look at him and say, bravery with understanding. God is raising skilled, anointed people. Not anointed or their people. Skilled, anointed people. Wear your bones straight, but make sure your life is straight. Glory to God. Wear your bones straight, but make sure the brain that is covering is straight. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't let it be that your life is a contradiction. You look more beautiful than you think. Handsome guy, 6-pack. It's not even 6, your own is 9-pack. You know, where you are able to wear, you know, nice garments. You are looking good. Fair boy. Wear perfume. But as you open your mouth, it totally begins to eradicate your handsomeness. Don't allow that this year. You must have a skill. You must have something you know. You must have something you're a subject matter expert in. Close, go and lock yourself in a room. You should be angry. 2026 must not remain, must not go like 2025. People are waiting for you to rise. People are waiting for you to shine. Your life is important and is connected to a generation. Stop wasting it. Hallelujah. All right, how to receive and execute God's vision for your life. I'll just read to you, then we will pray and we will close. I hope you are learning something today. Even as a church, we are doing things bigger this year. You know, many times when you come around this church, there is no billboard that says Oikea is there. So many of you came here because of people. And the reason why I didn't put billboard that I was called of money and all that. Anyway, we're going to spend this year. Glory to God. Yeah. And our children's church, by the grace of God, in 2 weeks, we're going to spend and do something nice there. Glory to God. Put some screens there, some toys, so that even you will come and say, I'm a child of God. I want to stay in the children's church. Praise God. Yeah. Well, we're going to do all those things while we're here soon. We're going to get out, get our venue. We've started looking for venues. And when we find, we are seeing price of $1.5 billion. Glory to God. We raise the money and we will pay. Praise God. We are doing it bigger and better. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. This year, you will walk into a KCC Yaba and you are going to sound like an ambulance. Wow, 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 wow. Why? You see, because the first place you will see this thing I'm teaching you is inside this church. Such that the sermon and the steps we are taking is talking to you. Praise the Lord. It's talking to you. We are taking down our giants too. Number one, how to receive and see God's wisdom for your life. Number one, God will put the seeds of that thing in your heart. You see that thing that is always like, this thing should not be like this. This thing should not be like this. That thing you are uncomfortable by, irritated by, that condition in your life or you see in your family that is always, that's the thing. God is telling you, I want to use you to bring about a change here. Glory to God. Exodus 2, 11 to 12. You find that God, all right, began to move Moses to let him see the condition of the Israelites and how the Egyptians were subjugating Israel. And you find that Moses was trying. He was always saddened by seeing that oppression. You know, go and put that thing in your mind. So he became uncomfortable. He was not comfortable about what, you know, the Israelites were going through. And one day, you know, killed an Egyptian. He went about it in the flesh. Glory to God. There are problems God has ordained you to solve. Hallelujah. If you don't arise and solve them, you are going to only work for people that arise and solve them. Nothing is wrong with working with people, all right, and working for people. But that's not what God has called you to do. Number two, after God has put the seed in your heart, he will give you time to incubate that vision. Preparation time, incubation time is not wasted time. after God began to move Moses, it took 40 years of preparation for Moses to now be sent. Moses had to be taken out of the spotlight, out of the limelight of Egypt, and he went into the wilderness where he was raising and tending to goats 40 years. That was his preparation time. Exodus 2 and verse 15, Exodus 3, 9 to 10. Number 3, and this is very important. When God gives a God-sized vision, he always will send people with you to execute it with you. God never sends a man alone. He calls a man alone, but he never sends him alone. So when God sends Moses, he sends him with Aaron. Aaron had to go with Moses. So in your journey through life and begin to sense a direction, look for your collaborators. Identify them. Pray about your collaborators. Pray about your co-founder, because some of you will found businesses and found tech startups and all that. You need a co-founder. All right? You need collaborators. All right? People that will work with you. Some of you cannot marry a stupid man. Some of you cannot marry a stupid woman. Praise God. All right? You cannot. You can't. You need to have your Miriams and Aarons with you. Jesus identified 12 collaborators, his disciples. And the reason why we're in this church today is due to the actions of God through those 12. Hallelujah. Say aloud with me, God will send people with me. And number 4 and final thing, listen. No matter what God has told you, no matter what God has shown you, listen to me. You will have to take the first step. Hallelujah. What did I say? You have to do what? You will have to take the first step. Let me tell you a story. The story of a particular man. This man was a senior when I was in school. I don't know where that dynamics have to be, but I'm just saying as at the time I knew. This man was my senior in school. So in school, I was active in ministry, as you all know. Then, the moment I finished school, we started church as instructed by the Lord. So this man would, anytime we come around, this man would now be talking to me about what God has told him to do. Praise the Lord. How that God has told him to start a ministry, you know, that you see they're going to start and buy land, and the land is going to be on this number of hectares, you know, and that he's in a particular church now serving, but he's going to go and plant the church, and the church is going to have this. This was when we started, this was around 2008. I said, praise God, hallelujah. Then in 2015, the man has not started anything. The man will now come and say, God has called me to start a church, and it's going to be on this hectare of land, and he's going to do this. Then the last time I saw him was when my wife, all right, about 3 years ago, went for antenatal in a particular hospital. And he was like, he saw me, he said, wow, Pastor Femi, how are you doing? Oh, whatever. After my wife went for this, he was like, say, you see that after God has called me to start a church, and it's going to be a hectare of land. And this was now 20 odd years. He has not done anything. Did God not tell him? It's likely God did. But you see, until you take that step, hallelujah. Brother, God told you will marry this year. You've received the word, you will marry this year. But you are still in your father and mother's house. Praise the Lord. You are still there. You are still, God will, he said, God told you this is your year of establishment. Yeah, but you're still in your father and your mother's house. All right? And you have been having this because God will put in there. Go and get your own place now. Go and get your own place now. You are saying, the money I would have used to get this space, I can save it, you know, I can keep it, you know, and stuff like that. But you are confessing that this is your year. You went to ask a lady out, and the lady agreed at the beginning. Okay, and they are discussing. Where do you stay? My father and mother's house. How old are you? I'm 33. And the lady is now wondering whether she should pray and check whether she heard well. Do you understand? You know, whatever shape her father, please, he's 33, and he's still in his parents' house. Please, please, help me know that there's no problem. Do you understand? No. 33, and it's not in this thing. Then you go for introduction, and as she goes to introduce you to the parent, and the parent says that, and they're asking, sorry, how are you doing? Where do you stay? Do you have your own? Yes, sir. Currently, I'm still in my parents' house. Now, it's different if you didn't have money. You have some money. Brother, this is the word of the Lord to you. Go and find your own place. Why? You see, because there are steps. You have to take that first step. And the first step is usually the hardest. It's usually the hardest. It's the most difficult. Very. God told you that this year he's going to give you a car. Take the first step. Ah, listen, let me tell you something. I remember when I wanted to get my first car. Praise the Lord. I went to get my first car. Do you know what I did? Without money in my pocket, so what happened was I was working as a doctor, and back then they didn't give credit to cars. So I wanted to buy a car. I didn't have the money for it. So there was a car dealer in front of my hospital, right? And this guy was selling cars. I didn't have money, all right? But I would go and see the cars and look inside and talk to the man and look inside, talk to the man, sit down inside the car, you know, and stuff like that. He would say, I don't want this one. Finally, the longer I looked in the car, checked every single thing and all that, and I told the guy, can we do something? Can you bring a particular car? I won't give you any money, but you bring a particular car, SUV, Nissan Pathfinder, and all of that, then I will pay you 50%, then I will stagger the payments. And the guy agreed. He bought the Nissan Pathfinder into this thing, all right? As God will have it, because I had taken the step and done those things, do you understand? All of a sudden, business came. I was able to gather the 50% and deposit, and he let me drive the car. Then over 3 months, I paid what? The rest, and I had the car. First step. If I kept sitting up, God has said, Father, Lord, the car. Because many of you, when God tells you, I'm going to give something, you are expecting that as you are sitting down somewhere. Let me tell you something. I was like that. There was a time, Pastor Dara. This is how I thought God would give me a car. I thought that as I'm walking on the road, one person is driving car. That person will not stop. Are you Pastor Femi Olale? All right. God has said, I should give you this car. He will come down from the car, give me the key, and I drive. People, we like that kind of testimony. Take the first step. Go to a parking lot. It's that thing. You see, but I don't have the money. Listen, there's something that thing does. Just go to a parking lot and be pricing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Enter the place. How much is this one? It's 15 million. Inside your mind, you go, 15. Oh, this one is 35. My internal generation does not have, they have not seen this kind of money. Let your heart inside, but don't show it. Just go there. Enter. Start the car. Okay. Is the AC working? That's there. Just say, okay, no problem. 35 million, Abby. Can we do 29? No. But the best we can do is 30. You are pricing like that. I did it. So, that first car I bought? I got my, because I was doing, after God told me that I should sell my hospital. I sold my hospital and I was doing full-time ministry. But as time went on, we're doing full-time ministry. That time, we couldn't really eat properly, myself and my wife. And I was in a rat-infected house. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, please, let me go back to work. All right. And he lets me. God is understanding. So I went back to work. So we wanted to move out of the house we were in. That time it was in Aguda. It was close to the canal, so there were too many rats. Guys, listen, rats is different from rats. they're small rats. Those small rats? That's not rats. The rats that look like rabbits, that's the one I'm talking about. These rats were so severe that they ate my certificate. They ate, yes, I'm not joking, they ate it. And the certificate was inside this plastic thing they give you. We had to move. So we didn't have money. So I sold my Pathfinder. For 600,000 naira. One of the most painful sales I've ever made because I knew I could have gotten more, but I needed the money. All right, because where we're moving to, the cost of the house was a nice place. I married my wife, fine girl. I didn't plan for her to suffer. And I didn't want her to, was still in school, living inside house with rats. I said, no, it's not good. So we moved to Ago, nice place. Everyone was tired, it was looking good. So we used the money from the car to get get the space. Now, wife got pregnant. And from the time when I was single, I told God, my children will not check. Yes, sir. Yeah. I said, my children, praise God. I said, my own children will not check. My wife, listen, no, it's me. I said, my wife will not be carrying my children. Carry one at the back, carry one, listen. And they are saying that. I said, never, it will not happen. I'm telling you, it was something I had. So I started applying for jobs and all. But before the job came, why not having money? Because I was on a stipend in church, it was 30K or something like that, a month. Once, it was not enough. And the 30K was not sure, because that time, God was helping us. Hallelujah. I went to like 3 car sales places in Ago to price car. I'm telling you, with short knicker, I didn't look the part. But because I wore short knicker, this is funny. This is because I was short thinker. Some of those car people did not mind because they felt I was like a Yahoo boy. You understand? Because that's how the Yahoo boy got. They would come with slippers and they would walk out with bends. So they thought, So they thought I was a Yahoo person. So they let me check the cars. I checked the cars and no problem. This. I said, okay, no problem. Okay, no problem. And this, and I checked the please, if you are here, don't go out, turn staring and the thing is, and all that. Now, let me tell you how God now did it. For you to see, that first step that tells God that thing you told me, I believe it. That first step is what happened. And I got a job in a particular, organization. When I got a job there, I worked, I wanted to work and get confirmed. So they confirmed me early because of performance. Then the moment I got confirmed, I applied for a car loan. So I wanted to buy a car. You know that shop I went and I was testing and starting their car and terrorizing them? After I got the money, I just went there. I said, okay, I'm ready. I want to buy a car. I want to buy a Toyota Camry and all that. This. They showed me this one. They showed me this one. I said, this one is 2.7. I said, no. I want one that is this particular price. And they said, no. So I said, you will sell. By the time we agreed on the money, I said, we should agree on. And I took them to GT Bank. Then you couldn't transfer millions via phone. Went there, did the transfer, and I drove the car. Now, you know what I said? My children, my wife, will never have to trek with our children. I bought the car on Friday. All right? In fact, I bought the car, paid for it, we drove it back to the car shop, and I told them to work on the papers for me because I had to go back to work. I went back to work, came back from work, picked the car up at night. Picked it at night on that Friday. I drove to the house. The plate numbers had not come out. I drove to the house. It was because I bought the car from a car shop in Ago, and I drove the car to the house because we were living in Ago then. The very next day, 5 a.m., wife woke me up that she was feeling contraction. Guess what? It was that car that I used to drive my wife to the hospital. And it was that car I used to bring my wife and Jason back to the house. I told my boss at work, who is still my boss now, because we moved together to an organization. I told him, I always said that my wife will not trek with my baby. My wife, my children will have that knowledge of being in a family car to school for whatever from the day they were born. And when I resumed back after paternity leave, he said, Doc, confessions work. Faith works. He said, I remember you were always saying this thing. And look at it. Just the night before you got the car, the morning after, you had to use it to take your wife. Listen. I know you are coming from different backgrounds, but I want you to trust God with your life. God cannot mess it up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is bankable. You get what I'm saying? The word and the promises he has given you, that thing he's telling you about in prayer. After you've prayed, make sure that when it's time to execute, please don't stay in the same spot. When it is time to take a step,
Even if you cannot take a big one, take a small one. At least when you take that first step, no matter how small it is, you will not be where you were before. Rise up on your feet.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For more messages, kindly search for our Telegram channel using the link t.me/oikiacc. God has blessed you.